What's going on, everybody? This is Gripped, Awakening the Grown in a Generation for Revival and the Return of the Lord. I'm Billy Humphrey.
I'm Corey Russell.
And we are on season two. This is our third episode. And this whole season is on the knowledge of God, plumbing the depths of knowing Jesus, knowing God. And so our first episode, really, this season, we got lost. I mean, we got in there and I called it episode season one, because we were just going so swirled up. But that first episode, we went out of the gate with Job 36, 26. Yes. Our God is great and we don't know him. And then the last episode, we dealt with the strongholds that get lodged in our minds, where we diminish who God is, or we make him to be evil instead of good.
Yes.
And we dealt with that. And there's deliverance on that last episode for sure. And in this one, we can't go any further if we don't right now get into this place of how do we begin to access the knowledge of him. And in the New Testament, Paul dials us in on a prayer that he gives to the Ephesian church that really it's one of the central prayers. It's probably the cornerstone prayer for us that have been in the prayer room and the house of prayer movement. But I remember hearing Kenneth Hagin years ago in the 80s saying, you need to be praying this prayer every single day. So even as a young believer, and I'm listening to like Word of Faith stuff, I remember Kenneth Hagin Sr. saying, you need to pray the Ephesians 1, 17 through 21 prayer. That the spirit of wisdom and revelation would rest on you. And so let's take some time, Corey, and let's dig into this prayer in this episode, because I know for me, I know for you, we've probably both prayed this prayer in the hundreds, if not into the thousands.
I was going to thought you were going to say hundreds of thousands.
Thousands. I don't want to overstate it.
Thousands of times.
Thousands
of times.
Where we've asked the Lord to release the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened, that we would know the hope of his calling, of Jesus' calling, the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. These components of this prayer are an on-ramp, they're an escort, they're the entryway into such a huge breadth of the knowledge of God. Those phrases and statements, they cover so much. They cover the whole gospel. They cover the whole story of the unfolding of the kingdom.
Yes.
They cover the whole transcendence of our God. And it's just something that out of this episode, what we want to brand on your soul is that you can't continue to live without continually asking God for the spirit of revelation.
Yeah, Paul says it. And that, what I love about this prayer, it's for the church, all right? And so it, again, hits that point. He spends the first 14 verses laying out everything that we have in Jesus, that we're blessed with every blessing, we're accepted in the beloved, we're forgiven of our sins, we're redeemed, we know the mystery of his will. We have an inheritance. And it's almost like he declares to them what's inside their bank account. All right? He goes, this is what you now have access into. This is what you've been brought into through the gospel. And he goes, but since I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, what a phrase, the God of Jesus, the Father of glory. He is standing on the sea of glass mingled with fire. He's bringing these new converts, this revival epicenter of Ephesus before the throne. And he's saying, Father, they have been brought into a glorious reality. But my fear is that they're going to turn Christianity into a once-a-week social club. And that they're going to live disconnected to what they've been brought into, because they've been brought into a person. And they've been brought into a wealth of a knowledge of a person. And Paul prays this prayer, friend, let these words get written on your spirit that the God of Jesus, just say that, say the God of Jesus.
God of Jesus.
The God of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He is the God of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he calls him the Father of glory. The Father of lights, Father of spirits, Father in heaven, Father of glory would give to you. Here it is. The Spirit. Okay. It's the Spirit. You got the Father, the Spirit, and you got Jesus. That the Father of glory would give to you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. In the knowledge of Him, and that your eyes would be supernaturally opened. Friend, that's what we want to talk about, is that the knowledge of God is concentrated. The revelation of the knowledge of God, of His greatness, of His glory, of His mercy, of His love, it is concentrated, it is focused, it is lasered in on the person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I think it's so critical to get the context of what's going on in Ephesus. Because if we miss that, we could literally think, oh, this is just some sort of spiritual language, some sort of spiritual prayer that doesn't really, it doesn't have application in my life because I'm under spiritual warfare. I'm under like real, you know, challenging things.
Yeah.
Look, Ephesus was one of the major commerce centers of Asia Minor in the first century.
Yes.
It was one of the strongholds of debauchery. And it had the Temple of Diana,
yes,
which was this massive demonic shrine where they're literally worshiping Jezebel. I mean, yes, it's just essentially the Greek goddess that is Jezebel, that is the harlot Babylon, yes, whatever. All those biblical images of this, this harlot Babylon, that's what they have in their city.
Yes.
So it's like taking Las Vegas, combining it with like Mecca in Saudi Arabia, and you have this massive stronghold, this massive debauchery all right there in their city. And Paul, instead of railing against the devil, he goes, you need to look at the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Get your eyes on the right place. Lift your eyes and see the one,
yes,
to whom you belong, the, yes, one whose you are. Look at him and ask him for something,
yes,
instead of looking at the devil, the negative situation, and railing against that. I remember the first time I met Mike.
Yes.
And I was asking him, I said, hey, you know, I want to build a house of prayer in Atlanta. And he said, oh man, there's 10 different things you have to know on 20 different levels. And I went, oh yeah, well, what's one of them? He goes, well, God-centered prayer. I went, okay. He said, yeah, the church's main spiritual warfare model is praying to the devil about demon spirits. Satan, I bind the spirit of this and that. I said, uh-huh. He goes, yet not one of the apostolic prayers is directed toward the devil about demon spirits. Every single apostolic prayer in the New Testament is directed to the Father about the church.
That's right. That's right.
And he brought me right to that Ephesian prayer. And I remember just thinking, the most demonized city in Asia Minor in the first century. And Paul says, I'm praying to the Father for you that you'd see Jesus.
And so, I mean, I think this is the prayer we need to be praying right now.
This is it.
This is the prayer. The God of Jesus, the Father of glory. And I just want to lock this in. The laser focus of the Father is that he has hidden, it says in Colossians, that
everything,
all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. That the fullness of the Godhead dwells in him
in
bodily.
In Jesus.
The fullness in Jesus.
The infinity of God is in Jesus, in that man.
Yeah, and see, this is the thing this is what moves the human heart. It's God's greatness, his unapproachability, and the approachability in the person of Jesus. And so Paul is praying. I'm convinced right here that this is the greatest need of the hour is for the spirit of revelation.
Yes.
We need the spirit of revelation because it's not going to be religious rhetoric. It's not going to be religious terms and buzzwords that's going to shift anything. It's going to be people who have moved into that ocean, into that blue ocean called the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is nothing the Father loves more than revealing His Son to a hungry heart.
Praise God. Let's say that again.
There is nothing the Father loves more than revealing His Son to a hungry heart. There's nothing the Spirit is more energized about than revealing the Son to the human heart.
Yes.
There is nothing the devil rages more war over than the revelation of Jesus to the heart of a hungry person.
Yes.
There's nothing more neglected in our churches than the revelation of Jesus and Him being revealed in the church. This is the battleground, is who do you say that I am?
Who do you say that I am?
What do you really believe about this man?
So true.
This man who is fully God and fully man. Great is the mystery of godliness. God manifested in the flesh. An oak tree put in a pot plant, and the pot didn't explode, but the fullness of the oak tree now lives in that zygote in the Virgin Mary's womb.
The power of a billion suns. I love how our friend Dave Slager says it. The power of a billion suns crammed into a human frame.
Yes. Yes. And that's why we need to get undone again. The Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made through Him. And then the greatest earth-shattering revelation, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. The old writer Balthazar said, we need to be newly and more deeply aware every day that something impossible, yea, something scandalous has occurred. That God in His absolute being has resolved to manifest Himself in a human life. Mm. He goes this, we need to feel the ground underneath us shaking. See, this is the mystery. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge hidden in this man. And I believe it's absolutely critical because deception is growing at no other time. The first thing Jesus told us in the Olivet Discourse was, take heed that you're not deceived.
Yeah, that's right.
There's going to be lots of people saying that.
Matthew 24, Jesus' key teaching on the end of the age, he emphasizes this point. Deception will rise. Take heed that you're not deceived. Many false teachers, many false Christs will come. Take heed that you're not deceived. He makes that a major point, which means we have to have understanding of truth.
Yes.
We have to have the spirit of revelation in the knowledge of Him and in the scripture, which is where we get the number one, it's the number one tributary where we get understanding of Him. I just want to circle it back, okay? Because when we're saying the spirit of revelation, people are getting, they have different ideas of what that is.
Yeah.
You know, I had an experience this morning that, and I texted you first thing. I said, I had the spirit of revelation resting on me. And for me, just even just the specific thing was, I had a Bible study going on in my brain. Now, and I'll unpack that just for a second. But so often people, when they hear spirit of revelation, they imagine maybe that we're talking about something that's different than Bible verses.
So good.
And when we're saying spirit of revelation, we're not talking about some revelatory encounter that has to be interpreted apart from the Bible.
That's exactly right.
It may be a revelatory encounter, but the Bible will inform us of what that encounter is.
Absolutely.
We're not talking about even really prophecies or dreams. It could be those things. It could be the spirit of prophecy. But when we're saying the spirit of revelation, the way I think of it is this, it's Holy Spirit opening up, so God, the Holy Spirit.
So good.
Opening up the Bible and teaching us God, the Word.
Yes.
And it's as if Holy Spirit is underlining passages and saying them to us in a way that we're now understanding it where we weren't understanding it before.
Absolutely.
And so this morning when I said I had the spirit of revelation, I literally woke up, I'm in a dead sleep. We're coming out of the holidays. I was telling Corey, I've been eating a lot and just just resting. And that doesn't usually make for sharpness. Let's just be honest. Yeah, yeah, fasting tends to in prayer. But I come out of a dead sleep and I have Bible verses going over and over in my mind. And it's the Holy Spirit doing that. I realize, right. I recognize the inner, I feel a spiritual kind of rush on me and energy. The anointing is what that is. And there's clear Bible verses on my mind playing, and I know Holy Spirit is underlining the Word of God to me. That's the spirit of revelation. And the specific one was out of Amos, and we'll talk about that later this season. But when we're saying praying for the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, this is an activity of the Holy Spirit opening up the fear of God, opening up the knowledge of God, and using primarily Bible verses to expand your understanding of Jesus. Is that
absolutely? And what I love is that you've stored, I'm all about, you had a Bible, you had a Rolodex of Bible that you had plowed.
That I didn't even realize was in
there.
You didn't
read, you just do your normal reading, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will take of all those many mundane hours of reading and He will breathe on it. And now He'll start saying, I want to talk to you about these verses.
It's so incredible.
I want to pull out those verses. And this is why we want to become students of the Spirit of Revelation.
Yes.
We want to become intimate. This is Holy Spirit. This is His operation. This is what He loves to do. John 16, Jesus says, Holy Spirit will glorify me.
Yes.
He will take the things that belong to me and He will make them known to you.
Yes.
That's what Holy Spirit is. That's what He does. And that's what He loves to do. It's His number one job is taking things that Jesus has said and the Word of God and telling you and bragging about Jesus and bringing you into encounter around that truth. That is exactly what it does. And what we need to do is to build a life.
Yeah.
And we'll get into that in a future one, but about building a life in the Word that gives the Holy Spirit a Rolodex from which to pull from.
Yes. Yeah, some of the most incredible times I've ever had in the Word, I didn't actually have a Bible in front of me.
Yes.
I had absolutely. Holy Spirit. I call Him the preacher on the inside.
Yes.
So I pray for that. I pray for the spirit of wisdom and revelation to unpack, Holy Spirit to unpack the Word to me. And so often He'll do it and I don't even have a Bible in my hand.
No.
He's actually preaching to me on the inside of me. I'll be listening to the preacher inside me, teaching me the Bible that I read at some other time, which is so interesting because you can read it and your understanding can be unfruitful. Everybody's done this, right? You read the Bible and you thought, I didn't get much out of that, or it seemed dry. But what you don't realize is you are filling the reservoir. You're giving Him material that He is going to instruct you with at a later time. And when He pulls out His highlighter,
Jesus.
And He starts highlighting a phrase. And even today, when we started this episode, and you just begin to unpack the Ephesians 1 prayer, and you said that the Father of glory, there was light. Holy Spirit was highlighting that phrase.
Yes.
There was light on it as you said it. And I know that as you heard it, you could sense Father of glory. Whoa, that is bigger than just, oh God. The Father of glory, the one who's shrouded in unapproachable light, the one who wraps Himself in light like a garment, the one who's going forth is from everlasting, like we talked about in the last episode. Father of glory, He is the initiator. He is the genesis of glory. He is the one who brings to bear upon the human soul everything of transcendence. The Father of glory.
And this is what I love to do. And we'll just use this is how we engage with the Spirit of Revelation. The power of questions. What does Father of glory mean?
Who are you?
What is that? What does it mean that you're the Father of glory? And what you do is when the Holy Spirit begins to highlight a phrase, you'll be reading through your Bible. He'll highlight a phrase. or he'll just do what he did this morning. Verses just start popping in your mind, or a phrase will start just coming out.
Pay attention to that when that happens.
This is what you need to do in growing and becoming a student in the spirit of revelation, is that when something is highlighted, stop everything.
Yeah.
Stop everything you're doing and then begin to turn that into dialogue. What does it mean that you're the Father of glory? Who are you as the Father of glory? What does that mean? Questions are the doorway into revelation.
Yes, yes, yes.
Questions are the doorway into revelation.
Yes.
And so you want to begin to engage him around the scripture and begin to ask him, Father, reveal your son. It says, and then what you'll find many times is we have that implanted word, verses will start popping on the inside of us.
And start connecting, and you never made those connections before.
Exactly.
That's the wildest thing. And that's him giving us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. He is the word. He is the word made flesh. He's unpacking himself to us and showing us his own nature by highlighting, taking us through the word and connecting it for us.
And the power of wisdom and revelation. A lot of us just run right past wisdom. Yeah. Wisdom builds the house. Revelation fills it. Wisdom is the life of mundane choices and living in a certain way to contain and to steward the spirit of revelation. Friend, I want you to get... I love this. I fly all the time. You've flown tons. One of the things that I have gotten in my life, I'll be flying in dark, late at night, and out of nowhere, they'll start the descent, and then out of nowhere, there will be a landing strip.
Yeah.
In the middle of the dark night, and you're like, where'd that thing come from? I've said it to the Lord, God, may my life may my life be a landing strip for the secrets of heaven. Mm. God, I I'm just going to bare my heart.
Yeah.
And I know you'd say the same thing. Yeah. There is nothing greater than this.
Yeah, that's right. That's it.
There's nothing. There is no amount of money.
No.
There is no audience with any person. There's no rejection or being hated by people. A thousand other things are landed when God reveals God to the human spirit. When God takes a whisper about his son, blows on it by the Holy Spirit, and you're caught into heavenly dialogue and entertainment, you can have no money in the bank. Everybody hates you. It's David in Psalm 119. He goes, princes sit and speak against me, but your servant meditates in your law. Which means it don't even sting that bad. I want to tell you, when this becomes your primary reward, people's hate don't sting that bad, and people's love don't puff you up that bad.
Can you come to grips with this? The greatest thing God can give you is himself.
Gosh.
Okay, so if you'll land that, the ambitions in your soul shift.
Yes.
Because so often we are being drug around by fleshly ambitions. And I'm thinking about that James 3 and 4. There's so many fleshly ambitions that we're being drug around by. But if you can shift this point, that the greatest thing you can receive from God is God.
Yes.
God revealing God to the human spirit. It doesn't get any higher than that.
No.
So then, instead of getting something from him that's not him to sort of pet your flesh and make you feel better about yourself, instead of getting something from him that's not him, you want to get from him. And when that transition takes place inside of you, all of a sudden it lasers up where you get pleasure. It lasers up your pursuits, what things are important, how you set your priorities. Everything gets in line when you realize the greatest thing you can get from God is more of God. Revelation in the knowledge of him. That is the greatest thing. And so what Corey's talking about is this. You can't pay money for this, but for me to wake up this morning and the Lord, God, is speaking Bible verses to me about himself, I knew we were going to have a good day today. There was just no way we couldn't, because God is telling me about himself, what he's thinking. I don't care what anything else that's going on. I'm getting him. I'm getting whispers. I'm getting little glimpses of what's on his mind.
if there's anything that I could get inside of your head and scream, it's this. Because I'm convinced the majority of believers, this is not their primary reward. It's not. And I want to tell you, you want this virus. You want this. Jesus, I love when they come back from the, Jesus goes, Father, I thank you. You've hidden these things from the wise and the prudent. You've revealed them to babes. No one knows the Father except the Son. Is it that?
Yeah.
And no one knows the Son except the Father and the one to whom the Father reveals.
Yeah.
I put it my name in there. God, I want to be that one. I want my life to be a landing strip in the midst of a dark and perverse generation. I want the secrets of heaven. I want Abba telling me about his Son.
Father of glory.
I want to be his Bethany. I want to be his place. I want to build a life that says, God, I want the secrets of your Son. Oh, I want to know his head, his eyes, his leadership, his ways, his emotions, his beauty, his judgments, his righteousness. I want to get lost in the shoreless ocean of Jesus Christ. I want to get lost, not so I can preach a message.
No.
Not so I can go preach a message about it.
No, no, no.
I want to spend days in the Bible and talk to Abba about messages and things I'll never talk about. He is the reward, people. That's the shift. That's the shift. And when he becomes your reward, you don't care.
You don't have a bucket list. You don't have ambition to be on a platform. You're not looking for a bigger house, a nice. You don't care about any of that stuff. None of that matters. The things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. And if there is something that I could give you right now, it's this shift of desire.
Yes, yes.
It's this shift of ambition. Listen, what are you in this for? What are you after? Are you after something for you, or are you after him? If you can make that connection that he's the greatest thing you can ever get from him, it will change the entire trajectory of your life. And it will change the way that you impact others, because you won't try to draw people to yourself for you. You won't try to use people for your own benefit. You'll actually look at others as people that the Lord desires and delights in, and you'll realize that the greatest way you can serve them is by plugging them into him.
We could go on this right here, and we may let it bleed into the next episode, but I just want to tell you,
Jesus,
this is it. This is where you start cutting us. This is what we're after. We want to build landing strips. That's why I get up early in the morning. That's why I rearrange schedules and rearrange all this stuff. So God, because I want to tell you this, man, one whisper from the Father about his Son is worth 30 years of seeking him out. I'm telling you. Get this taste on your lips and on your tongue. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Yes.
Father of glory,
yes.
Do what you love to do and give every person that's watching and listening to this, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. I pray that our eyes would be opened. God, I pray that you would restore eye salve. Apply that eye salve to us right now. Yes. Holy Spirit, right now, release eye salve. We confess we don't see as we should.
Yes.
Apply eye salve right now.
Yes.
Apply eye salve right now. Release it in the name of Jesus. Release that shift that Billy was talking about. Shift our desire. Shift our pursuit. It's not Jesus plus. You are. You are the end, Jesus. You are the goal. And I pray that you would stamp that deep on our spirits.
I want to pray Colossians 3.
Yes.
Set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. And when Christ, who is our life, is revealed, you will be revealed with him in glory. Lord, I'm asking, root out every twisted ambition, every false pursuit, every idea of our own glory. Root it out of us right now. And let us see the true glory, you. Let us see Jesus, the one that we're made for, the one who causes our hearts to thrive, the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, would give unto us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead, yes, and set him far above all principality and power and might and dominion in every name that is named, not only in this age, but in also the age to come. Release it, Lord, we ask.
Amen. Amen.
Hey, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to Gripped. We hope this episode ministered to your heart. If so, feel free to subscribe and leave us a good rating. You can find previous episodes on Spotify, Apple, Google, and Amazon Podcasts. You can watch this episode and more on our YouTube channel, Gripped Podcast, and follow us on Instagram at The Gripped Podcast. To stay connected with Corey's ministry, you can find out more at www.coreyrussell.org. To stay connected with Billy's ministry, you can find out more at www.billyhumphrey.com. Bless you guys.